Our New Testament text for today comes once again from the book of Acts. We read today from chapter 15, the whole of the chapter. This is about the First Jerusalem Council, which is one of the very critical junctures in the history of the church, determining how it is that we are to make decisions about what is right and what is wrong and what is appropriate and inappropriate in the Church of Jesus Christ. Hear the word of God. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all of the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will be." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. And they sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. Here ends the reading. Brothers and sisters in Christ, by the time Paul and Barnabas returned home, the first big, really big issue in the church had been settled. Gentiles were welcome fully welcome to become members of the Christian Church. Excuse me. Cornelius and Peter had had their exchange, and the Holy Spirit had come and baptized there in that place. Peter baptized Cornelius and all of his family. Paul and Barnabas talked about all the things that they had done, the response that the Gentiles had given to them as they came and proclaimed the gospel to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles responded much more favorably than the Jews had. And so it became very clear that it would be proper for Gentiles to become Christians. The Gentiles were welcome. But given that they were welcome, did they have to abide by the law of Moses? What did they have to do to become members of this covenant community? If, in fact, the most important thing here is the fact that Jesus is the Messiah and the culmination of all the promises of the covenant of God and all of that sort of thing, doesn't it just make good sense? Isn't it a compelling argument, in fact, that one should become a member of the covenant community, the people of God and the Jews, before becoming a Christian? What's required? Do they have to become Jews first? Now, see, from our standpoint, it's obvious. We know what the decision was. We have the benefit of hindsight, and so we can see that they were told that they should not eat the meat that had been offered to idols, or meat that had blood left in it, or that they should refrain from sexual immorality. These were things that, if you look back in the earlier days in Leviticus, when there were people that wanted to become members of the house of Israel in terms of living within the community of Israel, but not being a part of the faith community, particularly if they wanted to avoid circumcision, let's put it that way, if they didn't want to become full members but wanted to nevertheless be able to have fellowship with the people of Israel, these were the same things that they were required to avoid. We had a wide range of opinion here, from Paul, who said that Gentiles could enter the covenant family without any kind of Jewish translation, what have you, to these other people who said that they wanted them to abide by the whole law of Moses. There's this wide range. And so, what is the decision to be, and how is the decision to be made? And in fact, it is a very important decision that is made, but it is even more important, I think, how the decision is made within the church. Because we are all fallible, fallen creatures. So we will all have, over the course of our life in the church, many disagreements about this, that, or the other thing. And so I think it's terribly important that we see how the earliest church made this very important decision. The first thing that we should note is that they take the decision to Jerusalem, to the high court, so to speak, to the Supreme Court, if you will. This is where the apostles are, the disciples are, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was the kind of the titular head of the church at this time. So they go there where there is this authority. This model shows a couple of different things. Now, we have a tendency to believe that being Democrats, and as we are, that majority rule is an important part of what happens. And if you think about the General Assemblies that have gone before us in the PCUSA before we changed our denomination, I frankly don't know very much about the General Assemblies of our new denomination, but the PCUSA General Assemblies had majority rule, and the majority made lots of decisions that one might question. So that's not all that needs to be required. And as Paul and Barnabas went from where they had been back to Jerusalem, you see it says in the text that they spoke about their experiences and that the people acclaimed what had gone on. So the majority party already had spoken in favor of this non-Jewish part. So Paul doesn't just cite his experience or the people's view. Paul doesn't simply cite the revelation that he received at the Damascus Road. He does not just cite the experience that he had with Cornelius and other people like that. But that's what we tend to do today, it seems to me. We cite our own experience as if it is somehow authoritative. And we are tending, it seems to me, to want to back up and say, okay, if that's your experience, that's fine. It's okay for you. It's the truth for you. So experience is a very powerful factor in the world, in our world today. But there wasn't just the experience or just the majority vote here that was given. There's something else that is very important here, more than just the acclamation of the majority, and that is the very important factor of authority. There's an appeal to authority. To go to Jerusalem is an appeal to authority, because that's where the authority of the church really was. But even more, when you look at what James said when he answered this question, he said, Simeon has related how God visited the Gentiles to take from them people for his name, and with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. And then he goes on to quote from Amos. After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and will restore it, and that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. See, James appeals to the authority of Scripture, and he goes there strongly. What allows the Gentiles to become Jewish, in effect, is the fact that Scripture says that it may happen, that it will happen, that this is a thing that is of God. So, what we have here is by analogy, because James goes and then gives this his judgment, his ruling, which is pretty much according to Paul's view, which says, you know, we don't want to trouble these people unduly. But it's not absolutely gone. I mean, there is some requirement. There's they should abstain from things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. These are things that, of course, you know, we don't really think about that too much. I mean, we wear poly cotton blended shirts. We eat cheeseburgers, which have the cheese with the meat, and they didn't, things like that. But there are these things that make it possible for the Orthodox Jewish folk, who are the people of the covenant in the beginning place here, to have table fellowship with the Gentiles. And so this is what's required, this and this only. The point here, but this is the big point that we need to keep track of, is that when there are questions in the church, when there are debates in the church, as there always will be, there is no substitute for the authority of Scripture. We may have our opinions. Our opinions may all agree. They may all be wrong. The authority of Scripture is where we have decided, as a reformed body of Christ's people, that our life together will rise and fall. And so it is that we refer everything to the Scriptures, to the Word of God. And thanks be to God that He has provided for us this Word, that it may be our guide, our comfort, our roadmap through all of our life together. Thanks be to God. Amen.